seed that would grow to be thorns that would make his son bleed. Then he made a green stem.
Thank you, Miss Kemp. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. We shall begin to read in verse number 29. Would you stand with me, please, out of love and respect for the Word of God as we begin to read? The apostles had been preaching Jesus and the resurrection. The chief priest and the council have taken them and put them in the common prison, threatened them, and then let them go and told them never to speak again and preach again in the name of Jesus. Verse number 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. For my message this morning, I want you to go back and look at verse number 30. And the Scripture says, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree." I want to preach a very unusual Christmas message this morning. I want to preach to you a message about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that they slew Him and hanged Him on a tree. Father, help me as I bring this message that You might give me the ability to set forth a picture of Calvary and the marvelous gift that You have given to us. This is Christmas time. This is the time that we remember Your birth. But let us never forget You were not born just to be born of a virgin. You were born of a virgin to die on the cross for our sins. The wonderful birth of Jesus without the death and the resurrection is not complete. For the good news is that Jesus did come into this world. He did bear our sins and die on an old rugged cross. He was buried and He arose again with life for all who believe upon Him. Now I need your help as I bring this message. And I pray that You will speak to every heart here. Save every unsaved person in this building. And help those of us who know You as our Savior to love You just a little more and serve You more faithfully than ever before. Now, Lord Jesus, we ask You to walk up and down the aisles of this auditorium and speak to every person, every heart, and every life here. And we'll thank You in advance for every soul saved and every decision that will be made on this wonderful Sunday morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Many of you have driven throughout your area looking at the beautifully decorated homes and trees during this Christmas season. Can you imagine the thought and the money that's been put into the themes and the lights and the decorations, the colors on the houses throughout our cities? I cannot imagine the man hours in some of the houses in the Interlochen area of our city in their decoration and the cost, the light bills, the cost of the utilities to run all of those lights. Almost every home at this time of the year has some kind of a tree decorated as Christmas. This morning, I don't want to deal with the origin or the meaning of the traditional Christmas tree. It's secular. Now, let me stop right there and say the Bible does not forbid a Christmas tree. The scripture that people use is over in Jeremiah about cutting down a tree and putting gold and silver on it. It's not talking about a Christmas tree. It's talking about making idols from that tree and decorating them and worshiping them. And that's wrong. That's a sin in any shape, form, or fashion. But it has nothing to do with a Christmas tree. And I said that to say to you this morning, I want to use a Christmas tree to give you this message on the cross. I want to preach this morning on God's Christmas tree. God's Christmas tree was that old rugged cross on Calvary, where God has given to us the greatest gift man will ever know. Money cannot buy it. No man or woman deserves it, nor can we earn it. It is a gift from God, and we must never forget it. The scripture text we've chosen says, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree." May I say first of all this morning that God's Christmas tree was no afterthought with God. It was in the mind and the heart of God before the world was ever created. Don't you fall into the category of these Johnny-come-latelys who think that Jesus was the result of God's failures in other plans. No, before God ever spoke the worlds into existence, before He ever created the first man, before the stars ever shined in the heavens, or the moon gave its light at night, or the sun arose the first time in the east, God had already planned. He looked down through the corridor of time and saw man and saw his creation and saw his failure and his sin. And God had already provided in his heart and in his mind a sacrifice for man's sin, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in the heart and the mind of God, He was slain before the worlds were ever founded. So what I'm talking to you about today is not something that came about as a result of man's failure, nor did it come about as a result of God failing. It was the eternal plan of God. It is older. God's plan of the cross and man's redemption is older than man and older than this world and older than creation. Christ's coming to redeem sinful man was promised for the first time over 6,000 years ago there in the garden when Adam sinned. God continued to make the promise of the Messiah and the Redeemer throughout the Old Testament. He made that promise over and over again. It came to reality in time a little over 2,000 years ago when on the right time and the exact place, just like God had promised, a virgin Jewish girl of the lineage of David gave birth to a baby. A miraculous baby, a virgin-born baby. His name was to be called Jesus, for He would save His people from their sin. He came right on time, just as God had promised. And because Jesus came, I'm preaching to you about an old rugged cross on the hill called Calvary, just outside the walled city of Jerusalem. That old rugged cross is called a tree in our text. And I'm calling that old rugged cross this morning God's Christmas tree to an unworthy world. I want you to consider, first of all, how God decorated His Christmas tree. Physically speaking, there was no beauty in God's Christmas tree. There was nothing there to cause the crowd to thrill and rejoice on that day on Calvary. You see, God's Christmas tree was not an object of beauty. It was a means of execution, a means of suffering. It was associated with bleeding and punishment and suffering and death. Ah, but dear soul, to the redeemed sinner today, that old rugged cross, God's Christmas tree, portrays more beauty than is possible for man to describe. It shows forth the love of God. It shows the grace of God. It shows the mercy of God. It shows the cost and suffering God was willing to endure to save sinful souls like me and you. The songwriter said, O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. But God did decorate His tree. Let me tell you how He decorated His tree this morning. First of all, He draped it with the color purple, the color of royalty. For on that old rugged cross hang Jesus, the Son of God. He was through Joseph of the lineage of David, through Solomon, Bathsheba. From the lineage of Mary, He was through the lineage of David, through His son Nathan. Yes, Jesus was born of the lineage of David, an heir to the throne. He was not just the King of Israel. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And there hanging on that old rugged cross is the King of glory dying for our sins, dying and being judged as a sinner would be judged inhale to pay our iniquities price, to pay our sin debt. The one who was crucified on God's Christmas tree was royalty, the Son of God, the King of glory. Yes, purple draped God's Christmas tree that day. But not only was the color of purple there, on God's Christmas tree there was the color of scarlet drenching God's Christmas tree. Scarlet's the color of blood. Mark's gospel, just as Matthew presents Jesus as the King of glory, the rightful heir to the throne of David. Mark's gospel presents Jesus as the suffering servant. Just as purple is the color of Matthew's gospel, red or scarlet's the color of Mark's gospel. You see, Jesus did not come into this world that first time to rule and reign on the throne. He came to hang on a cross and die. He came to pay our sin debt. Though the thought of blood is offensive to many, it's precious to those of us who are saved. We know that it was sinless blood, divine blood, holy blood that paid our sin debt on the cross. We know that the blood of Jesus, God's Son, was the price of the sinner's redemption. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. God's Christmas tree is a blood-stained tree. But not only is there the color of purple and red on God's Christmas tree, very evident on God's Christmas tree was the color of white. White in the Bible stands for righteousness. And the Gospel of Luke is associated with the color white because it presents Jesus, the Son of Man, the sinless Son of Man. It sets Him forth in His righteousness. Without sin, He was tempted in every point as man is tempted. Yet, where man sinned, Jesus never sinned. He had never had a wrong thought. He had never taken a crooked step. He had never spoken a wrong word. Sinless and undefiled, impeccable. He went to the cross of Calvary and took our sins upon Him. The only sin He had was imputed sin. My sin and your sin put to His account. That day on the cross, all of the sin of all of the world was put on the righteous, holy, sinless Son of God. And He died there in our place. Yes, God decorated His tree with purple. Jesus was royalty. He decorated His tree with scarlet because the blood of the sinless Son of God was shed there for remission of our sins. God decorated His tree with white because He wants us to always remember that it was the sinless Son of God who died for sorry, no good sinners that we might be made children of God in Him by faith. White decorated His Christmas tree. Also on God's Christmas tree was the color of blue. Blue is associated with John's gospel. Blue is the color of heaven, and you look up into the blue skies on a clear day and you see the heavens, they're blue. He wants us to remember that Jesus did not have His origin on earth. He came from glory. He is eternal. He is God. He is not just a man. He is the God-man. He is from everlasting to everlasting. Though He took upon Himself the role of man 2,000 years ago, before He was born in Bethlehem's manger, or before He was conceived in Mary's womb, He was in eternity forever in time past. In fact, John begins his gospel with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." May I say to you that on God's Christmas tree it was not just a man. It was God who became man. God incarnate in human flesh hung up on that old rugged cross that day and died. That little baby in Bethlehem's manger was the eternal Son of God. That man dying on the old rugged cross is the same little baby who nursed at Mary's breast and before that stepped out on nothing and spoke the worlds into existence. And now then he's come into this world to take upon himself the role of man, to be the last Adam. The earth's first Adam sinned. We're in the mess we're in now because of the first Adam. We have the hope we have because of the last Adam. He died on that old rugged cross to purchase salvation for all who would believe. And then may I say, draped over God's Christmas tree is also the color of sin. You can't look at God's Christmas tree and just see the beauty and the majesty and the kingship and the righteousness. You look on God's Christmas tree and you have to see the color of sin. For there Jesus became sin for us. So many times we say that Jesus took our sin upon Him. But may I say to you, the Bible tells us He did more than that. The Bible tells us He literally became sin for us. You take all of the sin of all of the world and put it together in one package. All of the filth and the ungodliness and the vile and the wickedness and the shame and all of the worst things you can imagine was put together. All of the sin of the whole world was put together in one package, and Christ became that package. And God looked down on the cross that day and He saw sin hanging on that cross. And God poured out His wrath on sin on the cross that day, like He'll pour out His wrath on sinners in hell forever. He poured out His wrath on Jesus, who had become sin for us. God abandoned Jesus that day. He turned His back on Jesus that day for the first time in all eternity. He broke fellowship with the Son so He could judge Him as sin. That's the reason Jesus said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? He was dying for my sin and for yours on that old rugged cross. That tree, God's Christmas tree, was draped in the color of sin because it represented you. There's not a person here today that's not a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, there's none righteous, no, not one. The Scripture hath concluded, all under sin. We were on that cross that day. Our sin in Jesus being judged in order that we could be forgiven as we call upon Him, as we trust Him as our Savior. Well, let me move on. Our Christmas trees grow old and dry and dangerous about this time of the year. If you've got a real tree, it's brittle, it's dry. The least little spark would catch it on fire. It's dangerous. But dear friend, the message of the cross never grows old, nor does it ever lose its power over sin. The most vile sinner in 2006 can come to the cross today confessing that they're sinners and trust Jesus and find life everlasting just as they could in that very first century A.D. Oh, it never grows old. It never loses its power. After all these years, the power of the cross is still able to take the most vile sinner and save him to the uttermost in Jesus Christ. Oh, God's Christmas tree never loses its appeal. It never loses its power. Thank God Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Fourthly, our Christmas trees have lights on them. But on God's Christmas tree, the light of the world shined that day. The Bible says it's the true light. He was the true light that shines to all men. Listen to the Word of God, John 8:12. Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 1:9 says, Jesus was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus looked out to his followers and said, you're the light of the world. You see, Jesus knew that after he had died on the cross and had come out of the grave, he was going back to the Father. And the light of the world would no longer be here on this earth. So he said to those of us who are saved, now ye are the light of the world. See, God put His light on His tree that you and I might reflect His light in our day and our age. We are to this world, to Jesus, what the moon is to the sun. The moon has no light of its own, it reflects the light of the sun. And the Christian has no light of his own. We're to reflect the light of Jesus. By the way, don't you think, Christian, it's about time you turn your light on? Don't you think it's about time that somebody looks at you and sees Jesus in you? The light of the world was on God's Christmas tree in order that we might be, we who are the saved, might shine for Him. If Christ has a bad testimony in this world, it's because the world saw it in you. Someone said, I don't know why the world hates Jesus, because they don't have much of a representative. He doesn't have much representatives in this world. I mean, we're too much like the world and not enough like Him. We're a better testimony for sin than we are for the Savior. Can anybody see Jesus in you? Can I tell you? When you got saved, your body became the temple of the Holy Ghost. God moved in you. He wants you to let Him shine through you. At this Christmas time, some of you ought to decide, man, as a Christian, I've not been living for Jesus, but I'm going to allow that light to shine. He lives in me now. I'm going to let Him shine through me. I have some loved ones, some friends that need to get saved. I have some people I work with that if they don't come to know Christ, they're going to die and go to hell. And I may be the only witness that ever tells them about Jesus. Some of you need to decide to turn your light on. Let it start shining. Let it shine for Christ. Then we bring out our Christmas trees once a year. But God's Christmas tree is an everlasting memorial to God's love for us. When I see the cross, I think, first of all, God loved me while I was yet a sinner, and Christ died for me. When I see the cross, I think of God's judgment against sin. He paid my sin debt in order that I might stand before God and claim the promise, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. When I see God's Christmas tree, that old rugged cross, I'm reminded it was God who provided the sinner's complete salvation. We don't save ourselves. We can't do anything to add to salvation. In fact, if you try to add to what Christ has done, it's kind of mocking Calvary to think that He didn't do enough. He paid it all. All to Him we owe. sin had left its crimson stain, but He washed us white as snow. Yes, when we see God's Christmas tree, that old rugged cross, it reminds me of God's promise of everlasting life to all people everywhere who will accept Him as their Savior. He says, all who come unto me, I'll not cast one out. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I see God's Christmas tree, I'm reminded of God's expectation of me as a Christian to live for Him and serve Him. You see Luke chapter 9 verse 23, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. See, just as that old rugged cross is a symbol of Christ's suffering for us, it reminds us that there is a service that we're to render, a life that we're to give as we live it for Jesus Christ. And then may I say also, under our tree we have gifts. This afternoon I get to meet with my family and we're going to eat together and exchange gifts, and it'll be a wonderful time. May I say to you, on God's Christmas tree there's a gift also. The greatest gift of all. The gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You accept the gift by accepting the Savior. They're the same thing. When you accept Jesus as Savior, you accept eternal life, the gift of God. And there on God's Christmas tree is wrapped in all of its glory and all of its biblical prophecy and all of its righteousness, the gift called eternal life. I hate to tell you though, God's gift is marred and scarred. Scars in hands and feet to remind us that our salvation was purchased by the Son of God. That every moment we spend in glory, every day we enjoy eternal salvation, it's at the expense of our Savior who suffered and bled and died that we might be saved. And may I say to you that all through this Christmas season we've been hearing people collecting monies and gifts for needy people. In fact, when I got to church this morning, a woman was waiting here to meet me, and she said, I was sent here to get help for Christmas. And I said, well, who sent you? She said, a man named Jack Hiles. Jack Hiles has been dead for 5 years. I don't know how she came. I don't know who told her. I know he didn't. He's in heaven. You say, what'd you do? I helped her. I was reminded that in my most needy time, lost and on my way to hell, He helped me. And may I say to you that God's gift is not for those who deserve it. It's not for those who have earned it. It's for the most needy. The most needy sinner can receive that gift of life everlasting. However, you don't receive God's gift by just knowing about it. There must be a time when you receive it, you accept it. When I was 15 years old, Christmas came to me in August the 23rd, 1954, when I accepted the gift on God's Christmas tree. I accepted Jesus as a teenage boy. What a wonder of wonders. What a blessing that day when Jesus saved my soul. I often look back and remember it. I've never received anything compared to it. It'll never wear out. Its power is greater than my sins, all of them, forever. And I did nothing to earn it. I did nothing to deserve it. All I did was ask God, would you come into my heart and save me? And He gave me His gift. The gift that's available to all who'll receive it. And the question is this morning, have you received that gift? Christmas is not going to be what it ought to be to you unless you've accepted that gift of God. It's a terrible thing to go through the Christmas season and take God's precious day and this precious time when God sent His Son and turn it into secular holiday only. This is about Jesus. This is about our need. This is about our lost condition. This holiday tells us that God sees our sin and has provided a Savior. He's available to every one of us who will call upon Him. And the question is, have you called upon Him? Have you accepted Him? I promise you this morning on the authority of this blessed book, God who cannot lie, if you'll come to Him, He'll not turn you away. You say, preacher, I'd like to be saved, but I don't know how. You come this morning at invitation time and we'll show you how to be saved. Everybody who's ever gotten saved had to get saved alike. They had to come trusting Jesus as Savior. And this day, this Christmas Eve, can be the day of days for your life. It can be that time when you receive Him as Savior. Still, there's others here that have been saved, but you've not yet been baptized. And this is the day you can come and be obedient to Him. You'll never forget this day if you'll make that decision for Him. It's a spiritual day. Be good for you to make a spiritual decision on this special day. Maybe you're here today and you need a church home. This is where God would have you to serve. Come and join with us. Come and join with us. Or maybe you're a Christian and you're not close to God. You're living away from God and God spoke to your heart. And you'd come and rededicate your life and begin to live for Him as Christians ought to live for Him. This could be that day. Heavenly Father, thank You for loving us. Thank You for dying on that old rugged cross that we might